You're in the Bootlegger Shack, and I'm your host. We're going to be listening to some bootleg blues and rock recordings, starting it out with Heart from 2013, recorded at Cruisin' Amphitheater in West Palm Beach, Florida, doing a Led Zeppelin tune, Kashmir.
Yeah.
You're in the Bootlegger Shack. We'll be right back. Rory Gallagher, Tattooed Lady, from 1974. Now we're going to hear Yes, from 2011, recorded at MGM Grand Theater in Matchantucket, Connecticut. Owner of A Lonely Heart.
Went off and got on with Asia for quite a few years. We left Yes to develop their own new style for the 80s, and of course it was encapsulated in the album 90125.
Move yourself. You are the shape of life. Train!
That was Blackfoot with Train Train from 1984 at the Royal Theater in Roanoke, Virginia. Now we're going to hear Robin Trower from 1988, recorded at the Cabaret in San Jose, California. Take What You Need.
In the rock and roll capital of California tonight. Because you sure are, I'll tell you. I'm going to play you the title track of the new album right now. This one's called Take What You Need.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's five guys in the group: organ, bass, guitar, drums. What do you do, Ron?
Drums, organ, guitar, and occasionally I produce every album by Rainbow.
Can we have somebody who sings?
Not at the moment.
Oh. What do you do?
Well,
you sung on the LP, didn't you?
No, I didn't. That was Robert.
Oh, Robert.
Yes, it was Robert.
No, Ronnie James Dio on vocals. We have Mickey Lee Soul on keyboards, who doesn't know what he's doing.
Never will.
That's an in-joke, which is not very funny. On drums, we have Gary Driscoll, who used to be a ballet dancer, which has got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
What about bass guitar?
Bass guitar, we have a number of people at the moment. His name is Jimmy Bain. Jimmy Bain, who's a Scotsman, on bass. There was also some guests that came in now and again. There was the vicar, who used to go around blessing people, were very religious. And there was
The Wasp.
The Wasp was buzzing around. There was the Eagle. The
Shark.
The Shark. And also there was Shoshana on vocals. Huey McDowell came in when he wanted a drink and used to play cello.
I just wanted to mention how difficult it is to get people who have played other bands together before, to match personalities, to match musical taste, to be sure that everyone is happy. Right, that's it. Richie is, if this was only on video, you'd see that it was the old fist in the palm trick, because that's the way to do it. It's the old whip across the back and no other way. We found that kind of working socially first makes it for easier going in the studio. If you like each other, you can play good, likable music. If you don't like each other, you play very bad music. But I guess there's some people who have played good music and didn't like each other. But anyway, there wasn't really much of birth pain going on in this. It's very easy to be established first when you've got a Richie Blackmore on your side, especially when you've got a Ronnie James Dio on your side. You can't really lose. The other musicians,
Pitching
Gary...
Those, by the way. Tell them that.
I won't tell them.
Warn them.
No, I just want to mention the other people in the band again. Gary Driscoll, the drummer. Jimmy Bain, the bass player. Keyboard man, Mickey Lee Sewell. It's kind of a family affair. A family affair in that we get along socially. We like each other's friends. Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's
you
one friend of Richie's that I just can't handle at all. But we basically like, we have the same likes, the same dislikes, which makes all of it very easy. We really didn't have to worry too much about being on the road, because all we've done so far is record the LP. We haven't been on the road touring yet. We will be very, very shortly. At the moment, we're getting to know each other more musically as far as rehearsals go. As far as anything else goes, I'm bored and I don't care.
There are very many very good rock bands in the market today. Reverting back to Deep Purple, I found it, the pressure was very hard with Deep Purple because they were so big and we had to release 3 LPs a year, tour the world. With this band, we're trying to be a lot more mellow, and we are contracted to do 1 LP a year, which is what I wanted. I want to lay on the beach and be lazy. I know there's a lot of competition, but people know what they like, and the music that we're making is something that I like very much. I could have carried on in Deep Purple and sat back another dollar, another day, you know, or is it the other way around? It's the other way around. But I'm very excited about it because I'm playing music that I want to in the time that I want to play in, as much as I'm not pressured anymore, as much as I was. This is what I was trying to get away from. A lot of people will say, why did you leave Deep Purple? And it's because there was too much pressure. And I'll never let that happen again. Same kind of success would be nice, but not the same pressure.
Great success without the pressure can certainly be handled. I think we're going to prove that for sure. The basis of this band, I think, was originally to make music. I know that's been a statement that's been made by everyone. We want to make music and don't care about anything else. We don't care about the stage sets and we don't care about how we have to compete with everyone else. The purest idea is we want to make music. We want people who listen to it, who buy it, to enjoy it without all the contrivances that go along with it. But we realize that we have to have a stage set that competes with everyone else. We have to have a sound system that competes with everyone else. We have to have musicians that can compete with everyone else. We feel that we have all of these, but we don't want to become theater. We would really like to retain the idea of music first, theater kind of as a support act to the band. The theatrics of it will compete enough. It'll be competitive enough so that we'll be able to play the music.
I think theatrics are very entertaining if the music is bad, whereas in our case the music is going to be terrible. I like theatrics to a point, especially Jethro Tull. He uses theatrics very nicely. He is very musical and he uses a touch of theatrics which I think is very good. I'm not too sure about the Alice Coopers and the Rolling Stones, the way they have to use them. I don't think they would obtain an audience if they didn't get up to some tomfoolery, as we say back in England, and like as mirrors reflecting the audience so they can see themselves. I like theatrics to a certain extent, but as long as it doesn't overshadow the music.
It's time to introduce another track to you, I think. This song has no theatrics, no frills, no fancy parts to it. This is an instrumental song called Still I'm Sad, which was an old Gregorian chant. Again, going back to the medieval kind of influence.
It's not medieval, 13th century.
Well, it may be 13th century to you, but to me it's mama. He's right about that. Medieval is not what this is, but it's ancient history, which kind of coincides with it a bit. But anyway, it's a Gregorian chant done by the Yardbirds at one point with a kind of a new rendition. And here's a new rendition, folks, of that old favorite, Still I'm Sad. That was the instrumental, Still I'm Sad, featuring Mr. R. Blackmore on, what do you play again?
Bumbone.
Bumbone, yes, the Malibu de Bumbum.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, Still I'm Sad. Fine piece by Richie.
Thank you.
Well, that was an interview with Richie Blackmore and Ronnie James Dio of Rainbow during their pre-tour rehearsals in 1976. Now we're going to hear a track from 10cc, recorded 1983 at the Ahoy in Rotterdam, Netherlands, The Things We Do for Love.
Many broken hearts have fallen in the river. Prior to this session, had seen the Animals on a hectic touring schedule. The Caribbean, Europe, Japan, and back once more to America. There, Eric was able to fulfill a lifelong ambition, to perform at the legendary Apollo Theatre in Harlem.
That was the Animals with Heartbreak Hotel, recorded at the BBC Westwood One studio. You've been listening to the Bootlegger Shack, and we've got one last track to play this set out. And that's going to be Creedence Clearwater Revival with a Screamin' Jay Hawkins tune, I Put a Spell on You, recorded live at Woodstock in 1969.
Hey, I ain't gonna take none of your fool around. Ain't gonna take none of your putting me down. I put a spell on you. Oh man, oh, I told him down.
Thanks for listening.